We're going to be opening up God's Word today. You can start opening up to Ecclesiastes, but it's going to take me a few minutes to get there. But when I graduated high school, okay, when I graduated high school, I was 18. I got into Moody Bible Institute. That's where I went to school. But I had a year. They accepted me for the following year. So I had this whole year to kill. Why they do that, I have no idea. They just did. Their administration is great. There's a little bit of sarcasm there. But, you know, so I had this year off where I got a full-time job. I was working as a head lifeguard at the Kalahari. Some of you have been there before. But, like, at the beginning of this season, it was like, this is kind of a sweet season. I was making money. I owned my car, didn't make any car payments. I was living in my parents' house, so I didn't have any rent or anything like that. It was, like, the first time I was getting a consistent big paycheck, big beating, you know, $8.75 an hour big. You know, and it was like, yes, the season's gonna be awesome. I had a trip to Colorado planned with a bunch of friends, you know, a bunch of weekend, you know, events that I wanted to do. I couldn't wait for the snowboard season because I would be snowboarding every other day. You know, and I had the, like all of these hopes and dreams for this blessing of a season. And I remember as time went on, it didn't quite pan out the way I'd hoped. In fact, I remember one time when you live in Wisconsin, you have a long drive everywhere, especially when you live in, you know, hillbilly Wisconsin. You know, so I had a 45-minute drive to work every morning, and I was driving, and you know, it was about halfway through the snowboard season, halfway through this year, and I was kind of like, you know, this wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Have you ever had a moment like that? You know, where God's blessing you or you have blessing and, you know, you're excited about a season, you're excited about what's coming up, and then it doesn't quite pan out. It doesn't quite end up being what you thought it was going to be, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. How to flourish in blessing. And Ecclesiastes, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12, but I'm going to back up just a little bit. Ecclesiastes 3 says this, for every season, or for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. This is Ecclesiastes 3. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak up. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Every season has its time. That list could go on and on. You know, a time to eat and a time to refrain from eating. A time for the Cubs to win a World Series and a time for the Brewers to be 5.5 games ahead of them at the All-Star break. There is a time and a season for everything. A time to flourish in blessing and a time to flourish in suffering. And in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking about blessing. And next week, Matt's going to be talking about suffering. Because both of them are very important. As Christians, we have to understand, and as a church, we have to understand how to flourish in and out of every season. And if you keep going to that same passage, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time, whether blessing or suffering. Also, He has put eternity onto man's heart. That's an amazing verse. You know, that drive in you for something more, that desire for something grander, that push for us to be more than we are, is that desire for eternity that God has put on your heart. And every person has it. Every person has that desire. Every person has that longing for something greater. That's your desire for God's eternity. And we have, and we want eternal beauty. God says that He has made everything beautiful in its time, and there's an eternity connected to that, and we have a desire for that. But then He goes on and He says, but He has also made it so that we cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. We cannot find that filling for eternity by ourselves. I am not going to be able to find and be able to flourish in blessing on my own because I'm looking for a blessing that flourishes in eternity, and I can't find that. In a time of suffering, we want to flourish, but when we try to do it on our own, we can't do that. We need God. You see, our perspective of God, our understanding of God, needs to dictate how we respond in a season of blessing. To flourish in blessing, our understanding of God needs to dictate how we respond. Now, blessing is an interesting concept. Blessing is an interesting concept. I'm using it very generally. You know, it could be a season of monetarily gain or you know, abundance of resources. It could be, you know, a season where you are less busy or you have a break in life, maybe a time of vacation or time off of work. Some of you, it could be a time or a season in your home where there's joy in your home, where you've overcome some things as a family or as a couple or with your roommates, and you know, you're experiencing a good season. There could be more energy or health. You know, maybe have overcome some health issues or have figured out some things, and God is blessing you, and you are experiencing a lot more energy than you have had before. For some of you, it's just the weekend. But how do we live in these seasons of blessing and flourish? How do we get through them without, you know, getting halfway through and being like, man, this is a waste? Well, see, our actions and what we do needs to be dictated by our understanding of God. That's exactly what Ecclesiastes does. That's exactly what Ecclesiastes does. Flip over Ecclesiastes 11 to 12. That's where we're going to be. But, you know, Ecclesiastes happens to be one of my favorite books in the Bible. Okay, it's like, just that's a weird book. You're right, it is. It's part of the reason why I like it. It's different than any other book that you're going to read. But what Ecclesiastes does, okay, Ecclesiastes starts out, and it's written by this guy that we like to call the preacher, okay? Most likely, it was a man who was writing as King Solomon. He was writing for King Solomon, and he was trying to give us an understanding of life. You know, the first words in Ecclesiastes are some of the most uplifting words you will ever read. Verse 2 of chapter 1, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. That's not very encouraging. Yeah, it is. See, what he's doing, that word vanity, it means mist. Okay, he's trying to set up our understanding of life. He's saying that this life is only mist, and he's trying to give us an eternal perspective on this life. He's trying to take us, you know, ever walk outside when it's really foggy and cloudy and you can't really see anything? You know, walk out and you can't see very far beyond you. That's what our life is like. There's all these things getting in the way and it's just a mist and we can't find our way through it. And we have to get above it to be able to see what's going on. I remember, you know, one of my times driving through the mountains, it was all cloudy and it just got done raining. I couldn't see anything. And finally, when I drove out on that peak, I could see everything. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is doing. It's trying to give us a right understanding of this life and then give us an eternal perspective from it. And when you get to chapters 11 and 12, he's giving us practical applications how to live, okay? He said, here's the deal. Your life is a mist. God is in control. You need to see this world from the perspective of God, from his eternal perspective. And when you do that, you get to where we are at chapters 11 and 12. And he gives us three things that we need to be to flourish in blessing. Okay, three things that we need to be. And one of the reasons why I like 11 and 12, because it deals with a lot of different areas of blessing. First, in chapter 11 early on, it's gonna deal with resources. Talking about the blessing of resources, when you have resources. And then it talks about the blessing of long life. How do you deal with the blessing of long life? And then it talks about the blessing of youth, which right now I would put myself in none of those categories. I'm just kidding. Well, let's look at the first one. The first thing that the preacher tells us in Ecclesiastes in a season of blessings is that we need to be bold. We need to be bold. He says this, verse 1 of chapter 11, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If a cloud falls full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones of a womb of a woman with a child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, whether both alike will be good. The first thing that preacher tells us is that you need to be bold, okay? Now, here's the deal. You know, a lot of times when we are in a season of blessing, whatever that might be, whether it's the weekend or whether it's joy at home or, you know, maybe you just got a raise at work or whatever that season of blessing is, being bold a lot of times is the last thing that you actually want to do. You know, you finally just came out of this tumultuous season, whatever, you know, might be the case, and you get there, you don't want to rock the boat. And it's the last thing that we're going to do. I remember coming right out of college, okay? I had a job. I was working at a church, 30 hours at a church. I was living with a bunch of guys. I could pay my bills. I wasn't quite yet married. I was engaged, but wasn't quite yet married. And I was super excited just to be in this season. I wasn't in school. I didn't have to read a bunch of books. I was able to pay my bills and I didn't really have much to do. And like all I was going to do, I had all my mission trips and camps that I was going to go on. And I was just like content. Okay. This life is good. I got everything covered. And I was just kind of floating along that summer. Near the end of the summer, I had a pastor challenge me. He said, Jesse, you have all of these blessings right now. God has brought you out of school. You finished. God has given you a job. You're getting married and you're just being lazy. I was like, maybe I am being lazy. And I remember he challenged me, Jesse, you got to step up. You got to use this time. This time is a blessing. You have to be bold with it. It was during that season a couple things happened. It was one during that season that he challenged me, grow your mind, don't stop. And so I started reading more books, even though I wanted to be done. And it was kind of through that season that God grew my love for the heart and for the heart for his church. Like at that time, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I thought I was going to go start a snowboard camp or something like that. And God directed me off of that. It also got me a job. I took it, you know, I was like, well, I have this time. I should get a job. I got a job at Starbucks, giving my love for coffee, which has been a great thing. But it also grew my capacity to work and grew my understanding of the church and grew my ability to continue to grow on my own. And, I was wasting my time. I didn't want to use my time for that, but I was called out and convicted. And we need to be too. And that's exactly what the author of Ecclesiastes, the preacher, is saying. He says, cast your bread upon the waters, for it will after you will find many days. Okay. Commentators argue a lot about what it's talking about here. Most likely, this was King Solomon when he would get all of his goods and he would put them on a ship and those ships would go out to other lands. And most of the time, those ships would take around 3 years to go out and come back. And they would bring out his goods and come back with other goods. And he didn't always know what would come back. You didn't always know if the ships would make it. But what he's saying is when you have the resources, send them out. Cast them out. Don't hoard what you have, but send it out. Take chances. He's saying take chances. In time of blessing, in time of flourishing, use that to take chances. And this isn't just monetary resources. One thing that you need to understand about the book of Ecclesiastes is that he uses monetary things and things that we work for and everyday things that we understand to help us understand about our spiritual life as well. In a time of flourishing, you don't just hold on to the things that you have, but what do you have that you can use to cast out, to take a chance for the gospel? You know, that neighbor across the street, are you taking chances proclaiming the gospel when someone gives you, when God's blessed you with extra time at home or an extra season of energy, are you using that? Are you casting it out to see what comes back? He goes on in verse 2 and he says, give a portion to 7 or even to 8 for you do not, or you know not what disaster may happen on earth. Saying, be wise, okay? Take chances, be wise. you know, he's given the idea, this is what we do even today. You know, I look at my 403B, 401K, whatever it is. You know, you look at that and I got a little bit going here and a little bit going there and a little bit going there. And I have some things that are of riskier value, you know, hoping to get a bigger return, while other things are lower of value. I have all my stuff spread around. That's wise. Okay. And he's saying the same thing with your walk with the Lord. You don't know what's going to come. You know, are you in your time of blessing, in your time of flourishing, are you using your resources in many different ways? Okay? You know, are you discipling somebody right below you, somebody of the next generation? Are you investing in them? But then are you also sharing the gospel with people? Are you putting yourself in a position where you're building relationships where you can continue to share the gospel? Are you also, you know, sitting at a restaurant, taking an opportunity to share the gospel with the waiter or waitress? Are you using your money, giving it to the church, but also trying to, in a time of blessing, use your offering to bless other people? Are you taking all of the blessings that God has given you and finding different ways where you can use to bless other people and honor God? Jesse, I serve in Harvest Kids. Great. That is one opportunity, and I'm very thankful that you serve in Harvest Kids. But there's a lot more to this life. You know, if we're going to see return come back in your times of blessing, you need to be bold. Am I using whatever God has blessed me with in different ways to see the return? It goes on, verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain and they empty themselves on the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. Okay, I'm just gonna tell this right now, okay? There are things in your life that you cannot control. Okay, just tell your neighbor that. You can't control things. Tell your neighbor that right now. Tell her, look. Okay, you guys need to wake up a little bit, need a little coffee. Look at your neighbor, say, there are things you can't control. Look at your other neighbor and say, there are things you can't control. Okay, good. We got that. Let's go on. He goes, I'm gonna come back to that. Verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. In times of blessing, there are things that we see in this world that we can't control. We're sitting there staring up at the clouds. Well, God, I don't know if I share the gospel. I don't know if they're going to respond. I don't know if they're going to make fun of me. I don't know. You can't control that. How people respond to you, you cannot control. Well, Jesse, I don't know if the time is right for me to give. You know, God's given me this big lump of money, and I'm not sure if this is the perfect situation. I don't know. The farmer, okay, the farmer that's being talked about, it's almost in a mocking term. How the preacher uses it's almost in a mocking term. This farmer will never reap because he's only worried about the perfect time to plant. And the preacher said, you can't do that. There are things that we can't control. Let them go. There's never going to be a perfect season for you to be bold, so just do it. Just do it. He goes on, verse 5, as you do not know what the way the Spirit comes into the bones, into the womb of the woman with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Okay, God is working. The understanding here is that God is at work, but we don't always understand it. I don't understand how the Spirit of, you know, the Spirit that God has put in my children got into them, but it's there, trust me. Sometimes more than I would like. Most of the time, very much a blessing. We don't know how God does that, but it does. It happens. God is working. God is moving. We don't always understand everything that God is doing. That's okay. God is still working, and God still expects us to be working. In a season of blessing, God still expects us to be bold. Verse 6 sums it up. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand, for you know not which will prosper, this or that, whether both alike will be good. He's saying, work hard, be wise and take chances. You see, God is blessing you with things. I don't know if it's time, I don't know if it's money, I don't know if it's energy, but God will and does bless us. And when you are in a season of blessing, you need to be bold. The expectation is that you're going to use it. You know, God is obviously working. God is putting all of this together, but God has also given you things. What are you doing with it? A time of blessing is not a time just to sit back and see what happens. A time of blessing is to step forward, use what you have for the proclamation of the gospel, for the discipleship of people, and for the work of God's church. You know, this is very practical business advice, but this is also very practical spiritual advice as well. Be bold. Don't just sit on your haunches. Two, be joyful. Be joyful. Okay, this is something that we think we get right, but we really don't. But if we did, it would make a huge difference in our life and in our witness. You know, there are two types of people, okay? There are two types of people. The first people are the people that can order the best steak of their life, the best cooked steak of their life, and sit there and eat it for an hour and get done and complain about the knife not being sharp enough. Okay, you are an Eeyore. And you do a disservice because you're not reflecting God's joy enough. People don't see God's joy in you at all. And on the other side, we have our weekend warriors. I'd probably throw myself a little bit into that crowd. We have our weekend warriors where your understanding of joy is that joy actually becomes your God. When your whole life is about finding joy and pleasure. You know, I have this conversation often, a lot of times with myself, where, you know, I'll talk to people and I'm dry, Jesse. I'm struggling. I'm dry. I don't have joy. This whole Christian walk thing isn't good. And I'll ask him, well, okay, tell me about your devotional time. Well, I haven't had time to have devotions. I haven't had time to spend time in prayer. I haven't had time to pray. You know, I'm working. I get up early. I get the kids ready. You know, I don't have time for this. Oh, that's great. How was your weekend? Oh man, it was awesome. Man, Friday night, we had a bonfire. We went out and did this. Saturday, I did 19 holes of golf. How? I don't know. You know, then we went out on the boat, and then we did this Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, oh, man, it's so hard getting up at church. Back to church, I cut the grass, and we sat out on our patio, and burn. And you didn't have time to read your Bible? Okay. On the other side, I throw myself in that crowd, make joy and pleasure our God to the point where it pushes us away from God. And that doesn't display God's joy either. You see, a lot of times we fall into one of these camps where we don't enjoy God enough or we seek joy as our God. What we need to do is we need to allow blessings to bring us to rejoice in God. Look at verse 7. It says, light is sweet. And it is pleasing for the eyes to see the sun. Verse 8, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Okay? This one is for the older generation. Okay? He's saying that light, this understanding of light, is a blessing. You know, when you go outside, it's been cold. Okay, if you lived in the Midwest, you've totally experienced this. Just think about like the first real day of spring. It's been like negative 700 degrees. And we've been cowered up in our house, shutting our water off so our pipes don't freeze. And then that first day of 60 degree weather comes. And everybody and their mom are outside mowing their grass that they don't really have just because they want to experience the sun. You know, it is a huge blessing. And what the preacher is saying is that there are many moments in your life where God displays these blessings on your life. And if you have lived many years, take time to look back on them. Take time to look back on all of these moments and rejoice. But understanding that word rejoice is that it's an understanding that God has given you these things and you are rejoicing in them, not for them, but for God. The blessing that God has given you, allow it to stir in your heart reason to rejoice. Why? Because there are going to be hard times. You know, he says, but remember that the days of darkness will be many. We need to set our heart on the things that God has given us to rejoice in. Now, here's the thing, okay? It's good to remember that there are going to be days of darkness. Why? Because it reminds us that this world, even the blessings of this world, are going to end. And I'm not going to fully celebrate the blessings of this world because they're going to be over. I know that they're going to end, but I know eternity is coming because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. And I know even as I finish up that steak that didn't quite cook well enough last night, when I'm finishing up that steak and I want more, that's really a longing for heaven. And God, thank you for that steak. I thank you for eternity that's going to be even better. And it is rejoicing over the things that God has given us in our long life. And, you know, here's the reason why God wants us to do this, because life is going to be hard. And God does have to discipline us and train us. But when we can rejoice in the things that God has given us, it's a lot easier to learn from God. You know, when I know this is going to be shocking to a lot of you. I'm not a perfect husband. In fact, I'm far from it. And there are times that Ashley has to come to me and rebuke me for different things I've done, okay? And I have to be open to that, and she has to, you know, challenge me to grow in different areas. And but here's the thing, and she does this very well. When she spends times doing things that I like that bring me joy, okay? One of the things she does is she knows I like to try a lot of different foods. So she hates cooking, but she goes out and buys a lot of different ingredients to try a lot of different foods for a lot of different recipes that she hates cooking. But she does it anyway because she knows that will bring me joy. And she knows that I like to sit down on the couch and just snuggle up and watch a movie when she really wants to be working on her blog post. And she'll do that, you know, she'll do these things that bring me joy. And when I see those, when she comes to me and has to confront me on issues in my life, I receive it a lot better. I receive it a lot better because I see what she's doing in my life. The same is true with God. You have to see the blessings that God has given you. When God lets that light shine in your face and you understand that that's something that God has given you to rejoice in, you start to build a heart that rejoices. So when God comes with some suffering because you got to work on things, he can accept it. You got to rejoice. You got to be joyful. But then he goes on, verse 9. Okay, flipping generations. Rejoice, oh young man. Raise your hand if that's you. I'm just kidding. Rejoice, oh young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for your youth and the dawn of your life are vanity. So this is the next generation. He says, oh, young man, rejoice. Find joy in your youth. He makes a statement, walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. God wants you to enjoy the blessings that he has given you. If you are an Eeyore, that's a problem. I'm saved by grace, and I have eternity in heaven and perfection forever. Woe is me. You need to hear about Jesus. Okay, God gives us things to enjoy. We are to celebrate this life, and we can celebrate it better than anybody else because I know that it's going to end, and I'm okay with that because I have eternity coming. And so when God gives us things like youth and things to be excited about as you're growing, you have the whole world in front of you and all of these things that you can dream about and be excited about, that's good as long as it's rejoicing in God. Because it makes us attractive. We can celebrate these things. But no. Okay, this word, you could take your, if you are under the age of 25, take a permanent marker and square that word no in. Okay? And if you're older than that, you can still too. That word no, okay? No, it's not like I know it's in my head and, you know, it might come out someday. It's like no, 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 to the point where it goes in your head, down into your heart, and out in your actions. Know that God will bring you into judgment. Okay? It's a reminder. There's a little tagline there. That's the preacher's asterisk. When he says, be joyful in your youth, that's not a get out of jail free card so you can go sin and do whatever you want. It's telling you to enjoy the blessings of God, understanding that God is still the judge. And so that gives us a few parameters. Enjoy God's blessings in a way that God calls you to. But we are to enjoy God's blessings. Even in verse 10, this is amazing. It says, remove vexation from your heart and put pain away from your body. It's okay in a God-honoring way to remove things from your life so you can remove the stress and the pain. Okay? Between services, I'm going to go take 2 ibuprofen because my back hurts and I have to do this again. That's okay. Okay? There are times, you know, where there are things that are very stressful in my life that sometimes I just had to move off, remove those vexations. As long as it's in a healthy way that honors God, it's okay to try to do things that remove stress from your life. But also remembering God in all things. So look at that section. You got to be joyful. God is calling you in blessing to be joyful. As Christians, we should celebrate more than anybody else. When you look at the Old Testament, man, it is full of parties. Pastor John talked about several of them when he was teaching through his series on rest. And we talked about the year of Jubilee, where it was a year-long celebration. God wants us to celebrate because we know things and understand things far beyond anybody else. You know, you get a pay raise, yeah, go celebrate in a God-honoring way. You know, when you are youthful, celebrate. When you look back on your long life, celebrate, but allow that to help you rejoice, not in the money or not in the time off, but in God. Rejoice in God. You know, know that your youthful joy will end. You are not going to be young the rest of your life. I'm learning this fast. But that's okay. Why? Because it helps me attach to my eternal blessing. Know that godly joy is an essential part of your right living. Okay, it helps us with our relationship with God. It helps us when God has to rebuke us. It helps us when God has to correct us. It also helps us in our witness. When people actually see the joy of the Lord in you, man, that's attractive. We need to be joyful in blessing because it draws us closer to God and makes us more attractive to this world. In blessing, we need to find a joy in ways that push us towards God and not away. Rejoice, find joy in blessing because God is the one who is sending that blessing. In blessing to flourish, we need to be bold. In blessing to flourish, we need to find joy. We need to be joyful. And lastly, in blessing, we need to be godly. We need to be godly. I remember another season in my life a couple years ago. It was after we had settled in here for a while, and we had bought in our house, and we had 2 more kids, and you know, both of those things were huge blessings in our life, but I got lazy. And this happens so often in blessing. I stopped. You know, I would still have my quiet time. I would still have my prayer, but I got lazy. I didn't meditate on it. I wasn't doing it to deepen my relationship with God. I was doing it to check off my list. And, you know, I wasn't loving my wife and kids very well. And I was just kind of living and enjoying the blessings for blessings reason, not for godly reasons. And I did damage to both my wife and my kids. I was not living godly. I just, you know, I got into a season of blessing and it was just coasting. And there were some rough nights. And it actually, you know, most of you have heard the story. I've talked about it many times, but it actually took a season of suffering where we went through two different miscarriages along with other things that, you know, God had to start stirring in me. But it was because in the season of blessing, I wasn't being godly. I didn't choose to be godly. And it led into a season of suffering. You know, verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." That word "remember" is not just like, oh yeah, there's a God. That word "remember" is, it's the understanding, it's the knowing where you remember God in everything. You remember His word. You are meditating on His passage. You are remembering your prayers. You are remembering your blessings from God. You are remembering to the point that it dictates action in your life. He's saying in your time of youth, in your time of blessing, remember your Creator. Be godly. Be godly. Because here's the deal. And this is one of the greatest poems in the entire Bible. It sets us up with a stark understanding of the reality of this life. He says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. And the day when the keeper of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors of the on the streets are shut. And when the sound of the grinding is low and the one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of the song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high and the terrors are in the way and the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along. And desires fail because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bow or bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity." You want to cry? Every time I read that, like, I just feel like I should start crying. But it's an amazing passage because it sets us up perfectly. It says, here's the deal. You need to remember your Creator because everything is coming to an end and we're all going to return to God one way or another. And you have to understand this. He goes through great lengths to show that an end is coming. Says it's growing dark. Even after it rains, the sun doesn't come out. The great house, in verses 3 and 4, is failing. At that time, houses would rule in different areas, and this great house is coming to an end. And then it gives a picture of an older man, and he's starting to lose it. He says the things of this world that used to bring him cheerfulness no longer does, and he's afraid to go up high, and he's afraid of journeys that are out in front of him. The almond tree is blossoming. His white hair has come and is going. He says, moving along, the grasshopper that normally jumps and can move along quickly is dragging along the ground. Death is coming soon. Jesse, why is that an encouraging passage? Because it puts us in the right understanding of this life. this life is not meant to be forever. The life that we have in front of us is going to come to an end. The blessing that God is currently giving you will not always be there. Everything that we hold to so tightly in this life is going to shatter. Everything that we value that's not eternal will mean nothing. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Everything breaks. Except one thing. God. God. God is eternal. God has set up an eternal home. God has not only set up an eternal home, but God is also, and this is what amazes me, okay? Ecclesiastes, that's in the Old Testament. Okay, the preacher, the author of this book, is still waiting for the Messiah. He's still waiting for the promise that God said was going to come to fix their sins. They didn't fully even understand what it was going to be. Okay? And he's telling us to remember these things. You and I, we know that promise. We know that Jesus has come and died. My sins are taken care of. Everything that I have done that separated me from God is fixed because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And he has fixed not just his place in heaven for all eternity, but my place. That needs to frame my understanding of this life. There is nothing in this life that's going to make it, nothing earthly in this life that's going to make it into eternity. And so even in a time of blessing, even when God has given you these things, those things in and of themselves are not an end. It needs to draw you into a place of godliness. Because if your hope and your desire and the things that you want is anything but God himself, it will just leave you broken. Here's the deal. Some of you may sitting in here, you may not know God. I'm talking about these things, and this is so weird, this blessing that you're talking about. This reality that the preacher is describing, every single one of us can understand. We cannot argue. We understand that we get old. We understand that things break. My car will fall apart. My house falls apart. My body falls apart. Everything breaks. That we understand that. We ignore it so often. But in the end, everything is going to die. What are you going to do about it? You have a decision to make right now. You have a decision. Am I going to continue to live in this blessing and suffering, where it never brings you any eternal satisfaction? And it just leaves you wanting. Or you can turn to God. God has taken care of your sin on the cross. You just have to accept it. God has built for you an eternal home in heaven where everything will be perfect forever, where you can have boldness in blessing. You can have joy in blessing, but you have to be godly. And see, this sets everything else up. When you are in blessing, it is the easiest time to set up a pattern for your life. Because here's the deal, you are, suffering's coming. We're dealing with that next week. Suffering's coming, wherever you are, that is coming. And in a time of blessing, you need to set up a pattern of godliness. You need to use that time to worship and honor God. You need to use that time to celebrate and rejoice in God. You need to use that time to be bold for the mission of God. You need to use that time to solidify yourself in God's word and in prayer and set up healthy patterns, because the time is coming when it's going to be a lot harder. A time is coming when your patterns are going to be much needed, because you're so busy and you are so lost that you can't find your way. In blessing, you need to be godly. You need to be godly. When times are good, let those times lead you to a deeper joy in God's blessing and push you to be bold for what God has given to you. To flourish in blessing, our understanding of God and his eternity needs to show us how to respond. We need to respond in boldness. You know, if God has given you blessing, whatever that might be, you need to take that blessing and be like, God, how can I use this for your mission? How can I use this to bless others, to honor you? How can I take those steps of faith? God doesn't bless you so you can just hold it to yourself, because the tighter that you hold it to yourself, the faster it's going to fall through your fingers and the faster it's just going to let you down. If you want to flourish in blessing, you got to take it, work hard, be wise, but take chances, be bold with it. Okay, don't just sit on it. Two, you got to be joyful in the right way. Okay, if you can never find joy, that's a problem. Okay, there are seasons that are dry seasons. Okay, when you look at your life, there might be a year or two where you go through where there's a pretty dry season. But if you're looking back on your life, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and it's all dry, and you aren't finding joy from the things that God is doing, the things that God has done in your life, that's a problem. You need to remember the things that God has given you and let that push you into remembering what he's done for you in eternity. We should be celebrating far more than anybody else. And if the church isn't celebrating, we have a problem. We need to be joyful. And lastly, we need to be godly. In times of blessing, it's so easy just to let things go. But we need to be godly. Work hard. When you have a season of blessing, set up those spiritual disciplines. Get people around you in blessing. Use that time and be like, God, I am not going to slip away, but I'm going to cling to you all the more, because I understand that this blessing is an earthly blessing and it's going to end. And in the end, all I have is you. Do not allow your time of blessing to just leave you wanting more. Use that time of blessing to flourish. Look at it to use you in a way that leads you to God, leads you to be godly, leads you to an eternal perspective. Flourish in blessing, church. Flourish in blessing. Do the things that you have to do. When you go home, okay, when you go home, some of you need to open up your pocketbooks. Some of you, God's been blessing you, and you've been holding back this or that, and you need to go. Some of you, God has blessed you with time, but I don't know if I have time to give. I do have time right now, but it might get filled up later. No, go use that time. Some of you, God has blessed you with many, many, many relationships, but you're too afraid to step out and boldly proclaim. You know your neighbors, you know your coworkers, you know the gas station attendant down the street. Be bold. Some of you need to go home and confess that you live for the weekend. Your God is pleasure. And then you need to realign how you rejoice in those pleasures. You need to work at allowing God to be your God and see those blessings. Some of you need to be rejoicing over those blessings. And you need to go home and confess the fact that you are Eeyore. You lost your tail. God, I need to find my joy. And all of us need to go home and be godly. All of us need to go home and allow blessing to bring us into a deeper understanding of God, a deeper understanding of who he is, bring us into a celebration of his word. God, thank you for how you have blessed my life on this world, but I'm going to set up a pattern where I'm being blessed eternally because of the work that you are doing through this word, and I'm going to let it allow me to worship you. I'm going to sing louder than anybody else because there is no one of worth of more value than you. And I'm going to spend time praying and on my knees because there's nobody else who deserves it more, no one else who can give me more powerly, and I want this time of blessing to flourish. So as the band's going to come up, I'm going to pray. Now I just want you to think about, where are you in your blessing? What do you need to do? Do you need to be more joyful? Do you need to be more bold? And even now, as you're singing songs, as we're taking communion, remembering the work that Jesus did on the cross to set our eternity, to fix our eternity, as we remember his body being broken and remembering the covenant of the grace, and just reflecting on that, what do you need to do even today? Do I need to go home and do I need to be bold? Do I need to go home and do I need to find joy? Do I need to go home and be more godly to flourish in this blessing? And even right now, say, God, this is what I'm going to do. God, this is what I'm going to go to. I'm going to go home and I'm going to be more joyful. I'm going to celebrate. God, I'm going to go home and I'm going to go share the gospel with my neighbor. God, I'm going to go home and I'm going to open up your word and set up a plan because I need to be godly in blessing.